Blog Talk Radio.
Enhance your mind. Recharge your spirit. Awaken your soul. Enhancing Awareness Radio. Enhancing awareness with clarity.
Royalty to all. Thank you guys for tuning in to another podcast of Enhancing Awareness Radio. I'm your host, Haruda Oracle 7, most known me as Keaton Boyd. And what a perfect melody, right? What a perfect melody. What a perfect song, you know, to start this podcast out with, you know? Hey, you know, guys, truly, this time is very challenging and very difficult because there are a lot of things going on, you know, consciously and both unconsciously, in front of the curtain, you know, and behind the curtain, you know what I'm saying? There are so many things that are transpiring and that are taking place and that have taken place for such a long time, you know. As I always tell people, the hidden hand isn't hidden anymore. And whether we take it as a joke or not, you know, it's up to the level of compassion that one may have embedded within their souls. You know what I mean? As I am personally in hermit mode, I just wanted to come out, you know, the show must go on, as they say, but I just really, truly, I just thought about something, you know, as I navigate myself through the holiday seasons. The holiday seasons aren't always great for me because, you know, family is not, you know, family is just as it is, you know what I'm saying, but, you know, I've always felt like, you know, the outcast of the family, and I've always, you know, just did my own thing. You know what I'm saying? I never really felt a part of, you know what I'm saying? And it could be due to, you know, actions or whatever, but I personally never felt a part of, never, my entire life, you know. And I'm not sure if those was projections, but it's just what it is. I'm not a victim, you guys. But I wanted to, you know, share that little piece with you because what I'm doing this year for the holidays is, you know, I'm painting with my ancestors. You know what I'm saying? I'm doing creative things, you know, to give back. But it goes into, when I say to give back, you know, to give back to me, to give back to my ancestors, to give back to people who I know appreciate me, people who I can feel that, you know, truly, truly, genuinely love me, that truly, truly, happy birthday to one of my cousins, right, Niecy. Today is her birthday. I'll never forget that, 12/24. Shout out to my grandmother, Catherine Mass Boyd, also, who was always with me. Shout out to my mother, you know, everybody, you know what I'm saying? I'm not upset, you know, with anyone. You know, this is a time of celebration, you know, and it's a time of celebration for thing in alchemy. You know what I'm saying? Everything in alchemy. Not playing the victim, not pointing the fingers, not, you know, it's different. And the reason why I'm sharing this is because I know that a lot of people are tired of the plastic smiles. This is not how I wanted this podcast to go, but hey, this is how it's going, right? You know, they're tired of the plastic smiles. They're tired of the boundaries. And later on in the podcast, I'll read something that I wrote, dear, from my heart. You know what I'm saying? But emotional intelligence around this time is going to be very key and very paramount because there is a lot of projecting going on. And projection is normal. You know, it's not about what's going on or what's happening, but how you respond to it. It's not about how people make you feel, you know, in family units, but how you respond to it. Life is only 10% of what happens, yet 90% in how we respond to it, right? So I'm in full gratitude, you guys, but I just wanted to just come on and just share, you know, what I said as I was writing, and I deleted the whole Facebook app, but, you know, Spirit was just like, you know, people need you, bro. You can, but this is what I said. All right. Here I am, right? This time isn't easy for most, so I want to challenge you. What can we do differently this year and every year to follow, you know, so that we don't fall into depression and be subject to harvesting that are going on, you know, behind the curtain, right? And sacrifice season, honey. Oh, it's just a lot going on, baby. What's your creative niche? You know, what's your creative niche? How are you balancing? You know, can you tap into that? When is the last time that you got in tune with your childlike self? Tap into that. Here's an opportunity, right, for all of us to use this energy differently. Be balanced. Royalty to all. And that's just something that I wrote, one thing that I wrote that I shared with the world, you know. And when we're not being distracted, you know what I'm saying, and when we really want to focus on our inward healing, you know, 80% of the people don't do that. You know, we just want new shoes. You know, we just want to know if you got us that car that we wanted for Christmas. You know what I'm saying? Fuck all the internal healing shit. But the internal healing shit is what I'm about. You know what I'm saying? So, in this podcast, guys, emotional intelligence. Let's listen to what Ralph Moore has to say. I think it'll be very helpful. And then also my buddy Renee Hamilton, he's lecturing on a part two that I did part one about a week ago about could the idea of you be your prison, right? And this is going to be part two. So let's listen to what Ralph has to say when it comes to emotional intelligence in this time, right?
The birds are in harmony, listen, deep divers. They are in so much peace and harmony. If you are watching this video, this is your confirmation. Your heart, soul, mind will all be at peace. Just give thanks. They will find the peace they so long for. I want to remind you, don't allow people to steal your inner peace. Because your inner peace is the highest form of wealth. Slow motion this life. The cat down the road told me, you have a difficult person and toxic person in your life right now. Is that true? Yes. Okay. Do you have someone who's getting under your skin? They really know how to piss you off. They really know how to get you mad. They really know how to make you angry. When you're around them, it feels so toxic. They're difficult to get along with. Well, alas, I'm going to help you out. 7 ways emotionally intelligent people deal with difficult and toxic people. We got a whole lot to talk about, deep divers. Peace. Infinite waters diving deep once again. Beautiful deep divers, we are out here in the heart of nature. Baby, it's a beautiful day. I'm just, woo, breathing in that good ass prana, baby. Raising the frequency, raising the vibration. Take that, take that, take that. Good ass energy I'm sending you. We got the sun coming out. Thank you. That's a great sign. There's no place I'd rather be than with a bird, bees, leaves, and trees. That's right, deep divers. I'm in a good mood today because I chose to be. I don't allow people to interfere with my peace of mind. Why? Because it's way too precious. But a lot of people are going through it. A lot of people have a difficult person in their life, a toxic person. Do you? Put your hand up if you do. Put your hand up if you've ever encountered a really toxic person, difficult person. Here's one more over, right? Sometimes we're the toxic person in our own lives, you know what I mean? And let me tell you this. What is it like inspiring so many people. It's beautiful because people often ask me that. They're like, Ralph, how has it been for you? I was in the shopping mall, the shopping center. Someone said, oh, my gosh, Infinite World is diving deep. I said, hey. They said, Ralph, I love what you're doing, inspiring so many people. But they're like, Ralph, I could never do that. Like, how do you deal with the toxic people on the internet, the difficult people? And I replied to them that I have a very positive space on Infinite Waters, and therefore your vibe attracts your tribe. And when you send out good energy, it always comes back. But at the same time, yes, when you first start being a public figure, sharing with the world, you are going to encounter so many difficult people, toxic people. We ain't even had breakfast yet. Can I get a hello? And the only thing that's going to get you through it is emotional intelligence. Emotional intelligence is mastering your emotions, which is the energy in motion, discerning between feelings, mastering, controlling your internal feelings so they don't govern you. There is EQ, there is IQ. EQ is more powerful than IQ because life is all about interaction, interacting with other human beings. But you see, a lot of us, we meet people and they're toxic, they're difficult. At the same time, we still don't really know how to deal with that. But if you learn how to become more emotionally intelligent, there are ways to deal with difficult people and toxic people. So when I first started even sharing on the internet, there were a lot of people, toxic and difficult, like in the first year of YouTube. They were saying things in the comments, and I realized that, oh, they're trying to bring me down. But you see, when someone is trying to bring you down, it means they're already beneath you. Slow motion this side. And I just kept doing it, deep diving, and then they just left. And I reminded myself to always start the videos with peace. And I kid you not, just look at all the comments of any one of my videos. You will see 90% good energy, 95% good energy. There might be 5% of difficult people, toxic people, but the majority of people that come to Infinite Waters are coming in peace, love, and they're raising the frequency. Seven ways emotionally intelligent people deal sick people. Number one, they do not mimic, copy, or imitate. They do not mimic, copy, or imitate. They do not mimic the behavior of that toxic or difficult person. They do not imitate the behavior of that toxic or difficult person. They do not copy the behavior of that toxic or difficult person, because imitation is the greatest form of flattery. So when someone treats us in a bad way, and I tell you, how someone treats you is their karma. How you respond is yours. But if someone gets on your nerves, sometimes you can feel like they've disrespected you or they're bringing you bad energy. Many times, if they are like really mean to us or moody or angry or just the energy is off, sometimes we actually embody that same energy we're trying to get away from. Do you see? Right? We embody that same energy of the toxic person just to get rid of them. They shout at us, we shout back. No. Emotionally intelligent people do not imitate, copy the behavior of the toxic or difficult person. They are tuned into the peace, the inner peace in here. They tune in to tune all of that out. Slow motion this side. And they are always, emotionally intelligent people are always learning how to master their emotions.
right? And we do this by staying calm. When you are calm, even the storm gets terrified. Ooh, I like that. Even a difficult person gets confused. How come she's so calm? She's so calm. They're not even flinching. I'm getting mad that they're so calm. And that's what emotionally intelligent people do. They've learned this inner peace by coming into nature. Very difficult to piss me off, deep divers, because I'm an alchemist. I just smile at you. And inhale the good shit. Exhale the bullshit. The second way emotionally intelligent people deal with difficult or toxic people, they are aware of their triggers and they work on them. They are aware of their triggers and they work on them. If someone triggers you that you call a toxic person, say something to you, and you're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe you just said that. Now you're worked up, right? Once again, whoever angers you controls you. They know how to piss you off. They know that it's going to make you mad. They know how to get underneath your skin. So you have to know, being emotionally intelligent, what emotionally intelligent people do to deal with difficult or toxic people is that they are aware of the triggers and they work on them. For instance, let me use myself as a case study. First year of YouTube, sometimes people would say, I don't like that guy. And I would say, oh my gosh, what did I do? Some people would say, you're boring. And I would actually react in the comment section like, no. I had to remind myself they were triggering me. And it was all because I didn't see my own worth at the time. Now I know doing is beautiful. I love what I'm doing. I'm confident in what I'm doing. And therefore, you have to learn that emotionally intelligent people, they are aware of their triggers. Someone at your workplace can say, oh, I don't like what you're wearing. That might trigger you. But if you are happy with what you're wearing, it shouldn't matter. So when you know your trigger, you have to know, because everyone has a boiling point, right? And emotionally intelligent people know what triggers them, and they work on these triggers. You see, if you put a glass of water that's half full on the table, bang it down, the water is going to shoot up. Water will not shoot up if there is nothing inside. Slow motion this side. And this is why we have to thank emotionally. We have to thank toxic people because they help us work on ourselves. I've got a whole chapter on that. Check out the book, Feel Alive by Ralph Smart on Amazon and at ralphsmart.com/the book. We work on ourselves. We know our triggers and we work on them. So we're no longer triggered. You see, if they triggered you, it's because you still have lessons to learn with a toxic or difficult person. What? Slow motion this side. The third way to deal with toxic. The third way emotionally intelligent people deal with toxic and difficult people. They are selective with whom they share their energy with. Deep divers, not everyone deserves to be in your presence because you are so magnificent, so marvelous, so grand and luxurious. Not everyone deserves the time of day. Not everyone deserves your energy. I told you, stop allowing people who do nothing for you to take such a large space in your mind. Slow motion this side. So they are selective. Emotionally intelligent people do not share their energy with people who are not worthy to receive it. You don't throw pearls at swine. So they are wise enough to know to say, actually, I see this person is a toxic person, is a difficult person, right now we don't have to hang out. I'm going to chill with a cat down the road and find peace. I'm going to connect with people who make me feel like the moon, who make me feel like the sun, who make me feel like sunlight, right? What is the fourth way emotionally intelligent people deal with toxic and difficult people? They transmute the energy. They transform the energy. Emotionally intelligent people are master alchemists. So, for instance, if someone is a difficult person around you or a toxic person around me, what do I do? I just smile back. What do? I just breathing in that good prana, baby. What do? I just say, let's do a little samba, baby. They get confused. What do? I say, take that, good ass energy. You see, a lot of toxic and difficult people, all they need is a hug. So you got to send them some compassion. It doesn't mean you have to be silent. You can actually express how you feel, but you can do it in a compassionate way. So now what they're doing no longer affects your internal condition. Be an alchemist. That's what emotionally intelligent people do. Regardless of what difficult or toxic people are doing to them, they are choosing to feel this inner peace at all times, because your inner peace is the highest form of wealth. The fifth way emotionally intelligent people deal with toxic and difficult people, they focus on what grows them. They let go of what no longer serves them. If that's a difficult person, a toxic person, we're not focusing on you. You see, there's something called the 5x5 rule. As a psychologist, it goes like this. If a toxic or difficult person, if interaction with them is not going to matter 5 years down the line, don't spend more than 5 minutes obsessing about it. It's really not that important. Why are you allowing a difficult person, a toxic person, to take such a large space in your mind? You're waking up thinking of this toxic or difficult person. You see, emotionally intelligent people do not do that. Ain't nobody got time for that. Why? Because I'm too busy focusing on people who help me grow. I'm too busy focusing on people who bring me good energy and I give them good energy. I don't have time to think about toxic people, difficult people, right? That's what emotionally intelligent people do. The sixth way emotionally intelligent people deal with difficult or toxic people, they cut off the food source. No food here. 7-day vegan challenge. No mangoes for you. No grapes for you. No pineapples. I'm so sorry. You see, if you have a difficult person in your life, someone who's irritating you, a toxic person, many times it's because we're also feeding into their hands. We're feeding into them. And they need our attention to keep on being more difficult or toxic. Let me give you an example of what emotionally intelligent people do. Being on YouTube, sharing with the world, when you are at the top, YouTube Gold Award, inspiring millions of people, you're going to have people come out of the woodwork and say things, make videos about you. I've had it from the beginning of YouTube. But what happened? I cut off the food source. I didn't reply to any of them. And guess what? They ran away. And this is what emotionally intelligent people do. You see, sometimes silence is also an answer. Slow motion this side. Say it again, Ralph. I said, sometimes silence is also an answer. And emotionally intelligent people know how to be silent, know when to be silent, and they know when to open their mouth and say, no, that's enough, right? You have to learn that balance. Emotionally intelligent people know that. But emotionally intelligent people cut off the food source. They don't entertain nonsense. If you are not helping me evolve, you're a distraction. Bye. And that's how they deal with toxic or and difficult people. If you are not helping me evolve, you're a distraction. If you're not wishing me well, supporting me, we don't need to hang out. Because there are people who do, and we need to hang out instead. So learn that emotionally intelligent people have learned to cut off the food source. They don't feed into drama. They don't feed into the trap of difficult people that difficult people set and toxic people set, okay? The seventh way emotionally intelligent people deal with toxic and difficult people, they focus on where they're going and not on who is holding them back. They focus on where they need to be instead of being caught up in this traffic jam, because that's what happens when we're in the presence of a toxic person, a difficult person. It wastes time. You're arguing, going back and forth. In that same time, you could have started your business, grown your business, had a website. You could have helped someone. You could have chilled out with a cat down the road. So emotionally intelligent people say, hey, this is not going anywhere. I'm not going to waste my time with a difficult person, a toxic person, when I could be making love with someone I love. Hey, they focus on moving forward. Emotionally intelligent people focus on moving forward. They do not focus on one individual who's holding them back, because they realize that is not important. Emotionally intelligent people have the P word, perspective. They can see the bird's eye view. They have a big, broad perspective to say, actually, this person who's difficult and toxic is so small in my reality, because right now I'm focused on bigger and better things for me, and that's why I'm just saying, well, so good to be alive, baby. Can I get a hello? Hey. I'm just breathing in that Good Ass Prana, baby. Shout out to everyone who's been getting the wonderful Good Ass Prana shirt. RLSmart.com/clothes and spreadshirt.com if you're in America. And if you're a sexy ass model, whoa, with a whole lot of heart who wants to be an infinite waters model, you're not difficult or toxic, let me know why. Add me on Instagram at Infinite Waters, at RLSmart, and Facebook at RLSmart, at Infinite Waters, and Snapchat is that. Good Ass Prana. Your inner peace is the highest form of wealth. Do not allow one person that's difficult or toxic to interfere with your peace of mind. And emotionally intelligent people know that. I love all of you deep diving. Have a beautiful day. Peace.
Definition of it, how's it make you feel? Tell me what you say, the truth it makes it real. Kings and queens, philosophers, have tried so hard to find. Tell me what it means to you, dear, never mind. Love is kind when the world is cold. Love stays strong when the fight gets old. Love's a shoulder to lean on. Love is you. Love's like the water when the well runs dry. Quench my thirst, keep me alive. Just need one sip, baby. Love is you. 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 Is it possible there is a kiss that's so divine? Or am I just a fool? Is it all in my mind? Is there something chemical a scientist might say? Well, love must be a drug to make me feel this way. 'Cause love's my permission to be who I am. No inhibitions 'cause you understand. Freedom to breathe, oh baby, love is you. Love's like a kiss when the sun goes down. Holds me tight when no one's around. Love's what I wanna hold on to. Love is you. 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 when the chips are down, love will stick around. Oh, I'm so glad I found love is you. Much as I've tried to clarify, love's quite simple, he's just my guy. A perfect definition, love is yours, love is yours, love is yours, love is yours, love is yours.
Royalty. If any of you guys have not listened to her, that is Chrisette Michelle. She is amazing, guys. I think she kind of went under the radar, kind of like a she had like a season, right? She was kind of seasonal in what she was doing, but I loved her. She had some really, really great high vibrational music in that frame. You know what I'm saying? So, yes, I apologize to anybody about sound quality. It's just me now, so I don't know if the sound quality isn't what it is. So thank you, Joanne, for that. I definitely appreciate you guys. Happy holidays to all. So what we're doing here today, guys, is this is a part two of Motivational Classroom that I did 2 weeks ago. What if the idea of you is your prison? Now, what I went over first was just emotional intelligence, how that's important, you know, especially when it comes to the holidays. Sam, but, excuse me, even as deeper than that, right, what if the idea of you, like the idea of my birth name, Keith and Boy, you know what I'm saying, what if that was what I was born into, which was I was born into a role, you know what I'm saying, you know, whatever your role is, you know what I'm saying, you were born into, you know, sin, they say. You were born into, you know, it's deeper when you really have the eyes to truly see and go deeper. And this is what Renee does, okay? So this is part two, you guys. Go back again, listen to part one. I also have the YouTube clip in part one, so you guys can listen to the, so you guys can go back and do your own research, because that's what we're about here, okay? Don't leave shit I say, right? Do, it's to spark you and to do your own research, okay? I've been planting cayenne pepper, y'all, so I'm popping, so excuse me. But, as C.G. Patolo always says, you know, don't believe me, do your research, a beautiful song. But that's just what it is, you know what I mean? So let's go ahead and hop into this lecture. This is an hour and 35 minutes long, guys. I'll be back to close out. But, again, you know, this is for you to do your own, you know, research, guys, when it comes to these particular topics, okay? I don't want to coddle. I'm not going to coddle. You know, have y'all following me all your life, you know what I'm saying? But it's just for you to spark you to go within. And this was done 9 years ago. As I stated in the first lecture, Renee has been somebody who I have been drawn to for over 10 years now. I think 2010 was my year that I got reintroduced. So 2010, what is this, 2020, so probably about 13 years, something like that. But Renee is awesome. So anyway, here's part two, guys, and the title of the lecture is The Illusion of 3D Reality from a fifth dimensional point of view. All right, so there it is. Here we go, guys. Joanne, let me know if you can hear.
Thoughts. And, yeah, actually, what about thoughts and what happens when there's no thoughts? What is it? What's there? And the answer is love is there. Love is the absence of thoughts. Thoughts are judgments. They're labels. They're limitations on anything and everything. The absence of all judgment the thought, well, just like a child. You know, they're waving, they're happy, they're not thinking about anything. They're just loving what's there. They're appreciating it. And literally everything comes alive. It's because you're not labeling it and calling it something that is not any object or person or situation. It turns out, let me give an example right here. So this candle right here, in the 3D state, it appears as though this is moving from year to year, and this is inanimate. It's not moving or anything like that. However, how I see this is the actual physical material is bursting with life. Some of the moving years here, this is like flowering. Like a flower unfolding. Like a flower fountain per se, or flower opening up. In color, blossoming. Yeah, blossoming, but moving kind of per second. Just
starburst.
Yeah, starbursting, like starbursting. The color and vibrancy, and if you change that, that simply changes from that. But everything's alive. Everything's alive. It's not just human or organic. It's alive. Everything's alive, and it's a beautiful. It's just, it's like living artwork. All of life is this beautiful, living, breathing artwork, and it just becomes more and more beautiful. Each day, each moment, it's just staggering. And at first, you know, walking around with a smile on my face and playing, you know, for months and months. And now I've gotten used to it, so I can maintain a blank look or whatever and still have this amazingness going on inside. So it's like you're being built up to get used to it. You get a whole bunch of pleasure and joy, and you can handle it for a day or two, and then once that settles into that, then life turns on you more. So it's boom, moment just keeps on happening. So that's my capacity for letting go of things like issues or whatever, really adapts per se. And it's not that all issues go away immediately. It's though you're put into a neutral state so you can see things for how they really are and let them go if they no longer serve you effortlessly if you want to. So little things will pop up, memories of the past or someone you haven't seen in 20 years will show up and you had some problems with it in the past and you may even really hit them, you get a little anger or burst of a little something and then you realize that that's just thought, a memory of something in the past, which can't be true because there's only unlimited here right now, and the thoughts, the memories, the pain, the limited version of Renee, and so on and so forth. And so I just denied it. I did come up, and in this state, the thoughts are, if I choose to think something, the thought is very low in volume. Like, let's say in a normal state, you get 100% volume, and not only that, the thing is that you feel, and I don't mean to be condescending when I say human, actually refer to human condition, state of mind. It's as though when people think thoughts, they feel them at the same time. They feel the emotion and the history behind them. In this state, that's not there. It's just a thought. A blank thought with nothing attached to it, unless I give something to it. But I'm not in danger of getting lost into a story anymore. I know everything is a story, so I can choose the story I want to follow. But I'm not invested in that story. I don't believe the story. I go along with stories because I have to. I mean, in this society, in which everyone's addicted to the stories and ideas and concepts and limitations, and do you want to hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. And so perspective, it's a problem. I'll do a little analysis. So think of your normal everyday sidewalk on the street, and maybe say from the sidewalk from the ground floor to maybe 8 feet above the ground, there is like a river of thought. So it's kind of like a blue, translucent river. And then you have individual streams of thought in them. So everyone's walking on the sidewalk, and there's hundreds of thousands of millions of thoughts shooting back and forth, and people are walking on the sidewalk and hearing a thought, and they go, oh, one minute, and they go, follow that thought to this place, and they'll hear another thought, and they'll go this way. And they're just going from one thought to another, back and forth, and they're just getting caught in all these stories, and they're just totally lost in these ideas and thoughts. Whereas I'm floating above, like 10 feet above, and, you know, kind of like, wow, hey guys, you know, it's not that bad down there. Like, they're just fucking amazing. And these thoughts, there's rivers of thought, they need nowhere. They literally go nowhere. So people are running around, and I'm floating above, seeing how peaceful it is, and seeing where everyone's minds and attentions are going. And it's going everywhere but, everywhere but peace. It's judging, it's calculating, it's always frantic, it's always at war. Okay? And where I am is a peaceful place that's beyond the justice, beyond the thoughts, beyond thinking I know something. And even if I say something, I don't even believe that because there's no words to express things here. It's too limited. So it's really a place where you can examine reality without disruption of ideas that don't make sense. It's just clarity here at all times. It's 24/7. The fact the universe is begging you to let it through so you can become a channel for the pure positive mutual energy called pure consciousness. It's not even energy, it's just an awareness. Many people think we are light. That is not correct. Light is perceivable. It is a perception. It is light can shift and change, like right now, and become one thing and one thing next. But there's never any stability to light because it's so volatile. And the light is part of you. When light goes one way or that another way, you say, oh, that person, beat that person up. What you really saw was light, you know, go like this, and then something is false, and then something wrong. Hey, that's the idea. But really, it was just shapes and colors moving, and you place a meaning on top of it. So again, we define that. In fact, there's only infiniteness here, and we're literally at an infiniteness where we're shaping infiniteness into the reality of our thoughts moment to moment. And there's not one version of reality here. There's not one or one you, one anything. There's actually infinite numbers of everything going on right now. And we choose in that moment based on our possibilities, our consciousness, which scenario we think is going to happen based on what we think is possible. And then that scenario is what happens. So I use this analogy quite often. If you want to win the lottery, this is a quote from a channeler named Bashar. If you want to win a lottery, you don't buy a ticket and hope that those numbers will be the winning numbers. Okay? What you do is you buy the ticket and you tell reality what the winning numbers are. Because reality is always waiting for your instructions. It's just like an order taker. The universe is takes orders all day and night. They don't care because you are the universe. You're life. You're in the universe and you're walking along. You're breathing. You are the universe manifested whether you're aware of it or not. So you have all the resources of the entire universe at your disposal at any given time. Entirely, but no opposition. None. Except a thought that tells you, can't do it, can't be done, blah, 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 blah. Which was a thought of language. Nothing. It's just there to limit us all. Thoughts are no purpose other than to limit the unlimited. And that's needed needed for people to build and manufacture things and science and, you know, mechanics. And it has a place because it builds its own reality. Yet there comes a point where you, in your evolution of consciousness or whatever, that you realize, you know, that's old school. That's nothing compared to what's really going on. And then you enter the timeless now, the infinite universe that exists right now, and that's where life really starts. That's when you're born anew. You've all heard in the Bible when you may have that you might be born anew and be like a child in heaven. And that is true. Not that it needs to be done by effort, but there are some people who have spontaneously just woke up. You know, they're mechanics, they have no spirituality, religion, nothing, just not that. However, that's not the case for everyone. Some people really need to focus their attention on truth and keep it there in order to facilitate this awakening, because the illusion is so heavy that in real time right now, we're just imagining this. We're here, we're thinking, imagining a thing in the chair, talking, or whatever. It's absurd. However, this is a game. We've all signed up for this game to come to live in a 3D reality to experience what life is like in. And I can tell you that amongst beings in the universe, human souls are highly regarded as the most proven souls, so to speak, because life is so difficult here, so limited here. We're actually referred to as the masters of limitation because it's that. It's never been ascended before. It's, people come from all over the universe that are like, can you believe how it is? It's like, oh my gosh, this is nothing. So when we do awaken, for most of us, it's like a slingshot. It's been pulled back so far into the dark that when you let go, when you feel like, you know, this is the, out of that fear zone, it exploded this amazing theme that just explores all patterns of life. And in order for us to hear these things, fear is our greatest ally. Because behind our fears, is the doorway to the pain. Meaning that we avoid our fears. We avoid them, they're scary, blah, blah, blah. And this is part of our shadow self, our limited self, our dark self, which is not real. It's a limitation, it's there, but it's not real. In comparison to what we really are. So our fears create ideas that are locked concepts of, we believe they're really real. And so when we want to go forward in life, something stops us. You know, fear, this idea, this negative possibility. Yet, it's that very fear that stops us from having the bravery to enter into the unknown. Because fear is the unknown. Fear is literally, well, if I go there, what if this will happen? But in the present moment, we don't know what's going to happen if we go there or not go there. So really, what is fear other than just a kind of negative imagination that we're treating as a real thing happening right now? So that's like schizophrenic. Reacting to something that's not even here. Seems that, you know, that's the cause for concern, if you ask me, just personally. I'm reacting to things all day night that aren't even here. I should be concerned for myself. Okay? Yet, that's what we're doing. All day, all night, every day, 24 hours a day. So, there's these fears that keep us away from this a massive love that's there. The fear is like, well, I don't want to do this, I don't want to do that. Yet, once we go there and confront the fear, we realize, hey, it never existed. It was just in our head. But there's actually my food situation. Hey, I'm fine. No problem. I just wasted 10 years of nothing. Just fear is something that never existed. So once we can confront all these fears and can just say, hey, they're nothing, then you realize there's nothing stopping at any point in time from anything. And then your true power, your true ability to co-create consciously comes into effect. Because when we're in the fear state, we are motivated by fear, which is not new. It's a limitation. And it's, you know, if you're left to be guided by an unknown force, and leading into crazy, painful circumstances, wouldn't that be a concern to you? It would be a concern to you. And that's why I did something about it. Now, when you realize that your fears are there, attack them. Go, don't attack them. Right? Go after them. Because that those fears are the ticket out. It is a ticket beyond limitation. It's clearly showing you something that you've worked on or let go of or whatever you want to call it. Detached from, no longer to associate or identify with it. And then when there's no more fear left, what is there to associate it? Or what is there to identify it? Only a limit, only pure willpower, only pure inspiration. Because there's nothing there to hold it back. So whatever you think, whatever you want to manifest, starts happening immediately because there's no more thoughts of fear to combat that. So you want to win a lottery? Most people say, well, it only happens to one every 60 million people. It won't happen to me, but blah, 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 blah. Then the universe says, okay, you won't win a lottery. And then they can't win a lottery, and then there's no opposition in your thought. They're going to win a lottery because there's nothing in your opposed. And you are not your real universe. When you say, go, it just goes. The universe is not even judging it. They don't care. Because the universe did everything. The universe did see it. It is kind of doing it. Awakening, it is a healing, it's everything, it's divine life force in itself in every way possible. And your realized manifestation of that in terms of physical, internally, what is the same being as evidence. So the incident is really an actual world, it's actually there. We're already manifesting. It's a matter of if you want to do that consciously or unconsciously. You have three choices, and like, you just go along with the way things are now. You can realize your dream, that there's really more to life that's going on now, and really just seize it upon your mind and just wake up and say, you know, F it. Just done. I am a power. I'm a master now. The mind is done. Like, you're a judge. You're on the top of the bench there. Thoughts come in. You are last week, you did this and that, you're loaded. And you just look at that and just, whoa, dismissed, boom, and we're dealing with it. And that's it. You don't accept any of the reasons. Just don't accept it. I mean, no one told you had to accept it. No one did. You have a choice at every moment. In every moment, you can choose to be happy and deflect ideas of shame or guilt or whatever it is that's keeping you locked down. And you can just reject it. There is nothing, you never did anything wrong ever once in your life. You are literally infinite life force that is exploring itself in every way possible, including darkness, including pain, and death, and life, and birth, and everything. There's this, you just don't care. It just wants to explore every end. So anyone that you've ever hurt or your mind told you hurt, you did hurt. This is the mind that said you hurt. And it's the same being who was on the receiving end as on the giving end. So it's life working of its own karma per se. So it's not like something hurts. It's just playing itself out through the bodies of people, through animals, through everything. It's just one thing. So in this moment, right now, You are yourself parallel. And when you were born, or supposedly born, you came out as this character. You didn't have a say in it per se. And each moment that occurred, did occur and does occur right now, you can't help but to be yourself in this moment right now. You can't say, oh, I want to be a frog and just turn to a frog. No, this is what you are right now in this moment. And you can't help it, and you can't stop it. So that must mean that everything that ever happens to you in this now, in this moment, you have no control over it because it just showed up. It just You were being you. You couldn't help but be you. You were reacting as you were normally with your situation. And you just, whatever happened, huh? And you were being you. So where's the judgment in that? You just, you were being you. And you could say like that or whatever. But the point is that it's now new, it's fresh, it's automatic, it's happening. So where is the individual will in that? It's just now this is happening. Why not be? I can't stop it, and I just do it. So everything that ever happened must have been automatically happening. Because we're all interacting with one another, and everyone else is under the same rules as you, as in they're one in and out, they're always in and out, they're being themselves in and out, and the now is running the show, and we're just here watching the show. We're here watching the show. So all the community builds, all the things you do, it wasn't what you created. Because the you who you think you are is a thought, just 500 thoughts that history you or this and that. But you're not a thought. And the thought is saying, I'm the one who thinks this, I'm the one to blame, I'm the one who's this gift. But where is it? Where is the validity of these thoughts? Thoughts don't know anything. They never be anything. They can't be anything. And as a label, a thought can never account for the actual reality of any situation. So all thoughts are rendered invalid. So you. Now, that being said, there's no real worship because what happened happened. It's only done. Already done. So I'm going to go back in the past and conjure on something that's already done and build a story around that when I know nothing. And where is the past anyway? So it's only here right now. So what does the past have to do with right now? Nothing. It's just a limitation. The truth is it. Right here, right now. So the past is just a dream of limitation, and it's just, it's like, you'll see, there's no ending. Like, the past is not an end. It's just not true. It never was true. And that's what led to all the everyone's problems. These stories, ridiculous ideas about who they are, what they should be, who shouldn't be, who that person is, the person pissed me off, this person cheated on me, this person. We have a choice to entertain a new story more. Do you really want to entertain a story with that? Or do you want to make a new story that's just filled with amazingness that is unbelievable? Or get rid of all stories and just be and be everything. You literally can start seeing through all eyes. Not just one eye, all eyes. Not just this room, anywhere and everywhere in the universe. Not just human eyes, the chair, the piece of gum underneath your shoe, the wall, everything. Let's become so rich, so rich that you literally become one with your experiences. Like when you hear music, you literally become one and move into the air and move around and waveforms and that's a real thing. Like I just think about it. And it just goes on and on. It's just infinite. There's literally nowhere you're not right now. So any judgment is self-judgment. Any judgment is lack of love. It's just taking the infinite and reducing it down to nothingness and labeling that and saying that's what it is. And clearly, it's by all logic, that's a lie. It can't be that way. It can never be that way. There's too much reality, too much life going on to label something and think that label is actually correct. So it really boils down to how dedicated you are to actually living in truth or not truth. That doesn't mean that you can't work and pay the bills or you have your pretty two shoes, you can't smoke anymore, or coffee, or smoke cigarettes, or weed, or get drunk, or whatever. You can do all these things. That's not an issue. There's no judgment anyway. It's just life experiencing and experiencing that sensation. And what is alcohol anyway? And what is weed? And what are these things anyway? We don't even know. These are just things that we've been told. Okay? And these things that we've been told shape our perception of the experience of drinking, or doing drugs, or going gambling, or whatever. Have a weird sexual fetish or anything goes, pretty much in the universe, and you decide that. And because I say anything goes, doesn't mean you have permission to go and start stabbing other people, you know. And that's the first thing people say: if nothing means anything, or it's random, or you have alternate power, what's to stop you from going grabbing anything and killing people? Nothing. The point is, do I want to do that? No, I don't want to do that. People think because there's no good and bad, that everyone would smoke crazy, just animals, rash, going monkeys and just killing everyone, just rotting and raping. No, I mean, people have preferences, people have experiences, and Neanderthals on a loose and the only thing keeping them in order is just some 10 commandments or something. Come on. I mean, since when has that ever stopped anyone from beating anyone or getting into a fight or anything? These are just ideas. These are just principles, rules, policies, whatever you want to call them. And we can choose to live our life by those that some people, someone else needs for us, or on our own, on our own sort of account. Like, for example, like, this is the U.S. You know, back in 1776, a bunch of men or women, whatever, signed a Declaration of Independence and, you know, built the Constitution of the United States. And, you know, we are the government, we are Congress, and Congress is letting you do that, and we can tax you, and so on and so forth. So, 200-300 years later, on a piece of paper, with ink and some signatures on it, 100 years ago, that the people had never met, wrote on, that they're the government, and they can tax you. So now, 250 years later, some I don't know wrote on a piece of paper 200 years ago that vowed, you know, hypothetically speaking, the government to come and steal my money. 200 years later, a piece of paper that you could be killed in Congress. That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous even think about that. What does that have to do with me right now? Nothing. But we all believe that's the way things are done. That system, that's how it goes. You've got to conform to that. You don't have to conform to anything you want. No one says you have to do anything. All these ideas. Rules and limitations, I mean, they're not that I'm suggesting you break them, but rules are there because they're meant to go. That's why they're there in the first place. I mean, clearly, you know. And the question is, what rules of your own, right here and now, do you want to break in order to be the person you actually want to be versus what you think you are? You know, and there's a lot of people here that have a lot of rules, a lot of rules and policies that they've been self-policing or policing others by that put yourself in a situation that you'd rather not be in. And I'm sure we all have our own stories here. You know, a lot of them are financial, emotional, mental, memory, spiritual things you think you still need to do in order to wake up or be happy. You don't have to do anything. You just need to accept that everything you thought you knew was nothing and just start to be yourself. And why would we walk around our whole life, 20, 30, 40, 50 years, thinking about who we are when we already are who we are? Why don't we just stop thinking and be it? Why? Well, what am I? I'm 4 years of that. 4 years. Hey, look. I'm on my own way again. Just start noticing what's here. You know, it's just amazing. It's just, what's there to do other than notice what's here, which is infinite. It's just the thoughts are limited. The thoughts are not infinite. Thoughts are not love. So we're so fixated on thoughts and ideas, concepts. Even the thought of I do this, I'm Renee. Who's thinking that? Okay? If I'm perceiving that, there's a thought in my awareness right now saying, I'm Renee. Someone's got to be there to report that being said or that being noticed. And I noticed it. I'm noticing that thought saying, I'm Renee. So I'm definitely not that because I'm the one noticing. Okay, so who's the thought saying, I'm Renee? It's just something trying to pull me out of unlimitedness. I'm Renee. I'm trying to get me to lock on that and then, oh, you're Renee, right? Okay. Renee is that. Take on the story here. Remember the past? Remember your brother? Did you do that? Gone from 10, 20, years. Who knows? You know, I mean, it's not permanent, obviously. It's just a temporary story. But the point is that you don't have to live with stories right now. You can choose stories if you want. You don't have to choose them. It's like you're feeling kind of better with those. Billion, unlimited amount. Money and the number is not even possible. And it's absolutely staggering what's on the other side of the thought. It's just insane. Anyone have any questions
right off
the bat?
How do
The feelings are related to connections, associations, right? I burned my head on a stove. Whoa, never going to do that again. So, a feeling comes up due to a particular situation. That feeling is there because there's a story around that feeling that tries to justify the feeling. Well, I feel this way because, my ex-boyfriend cheated on me, I don't want to get heartbroken, and then just close up and whatever. So the feelings are associated with a meaning that we put on a situation. And clearly, go ahead.
Okay, so you in your state, so would you say you have a feeling, right? Just a full voice type of thing, that's the feeling.
Yeah.
Right? What's that?
I'm not even that feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's a blissful sensation one. Yet, this is a paradox. You are and you're not the feeling. And you have to go through recognizing what you're not to recognize what you are. So clearly, I can see a difference between the state of being and a feeling. This is my name. However, deeper levels of awareness, consciousness, you recognize you're also a feeling. You're all that is. So there's relative awareness, meaning I'll call it two different things. I'll call it non-conceptual awareness, meaning you're aware before thought, before the concept, before the idea. I also call it, which I think it means a little more appropriate, I coined it non-functive awareness. You're not assuming anything ever again. You just don't know. You're not even assuming. You just, something's here. I'm here, something's here. Something's happening. And then with that, with emptying yourself out, reality can tell you what it is. It's instant loop of knowledge right here, right now. It's right there. It's not even gone. It's still here. And it's always here. And it's always beautiful. It's just that when we choose to be what we're not, which are the thoughts and the ideas that are limited, then we experience the problem. Kids can go for anything that lasts forever, the colors, anything. Very rich, deep experience when we're children, because we're merged with everything. And that's slowly, that program slowly kicks in, so to speak. So, I'm not going to get into the need to keep conspiracy. But let's say in the 3D world, there seems to be, it's like the wild, wild west of consciousness. Okay, there are beings who are completely mind-blowingly cosmic, some are very dark, some are very, have reached interdimensional levels on the dark side and the light side, light workers. There's just anything going on the surface. Whatever you think is happening on the surface, it's so intergalactically beyond that, it's mind-blowing. So there are beings who are here and groups for them. Who are going back in the time, changing the bed to make things happen the way they want. There are beings who are trying to stop that, going back in the time, trapping them there. 9/11 was a multi-dimensional event, and it involved thousands, hundreds of thousands of beings trying to prevent it from happening, and those trying to make it happen, so on and so forth. So there's all this deep stuff happening that the average person has no idea what's really going on behind the scenes. So there's infinite levels of consciousness or awakeness or awareness of reality. And that goes to say, because in each molecule, in each atom, is infinite energy. So we're just looking at one perspective out of infinite perspective. For example, let's just say that every atom, every molecule, everything on the entire earth, the trees that walk in the ground, every atom was alive, has an awakeness, own consciousness. And it is that way. Now, think of a circumstance happening. Your family are walking in a park, and someone's riding by on a bike, and a car comes by and kind of hits them a little bit, and they fall over and bang their head, and, you're there to witness this. And the person's okay, we'll scratch their head and whatnot. And you go about your day. And then the next day, you start thinking back. Well, whatever happened, the the biker's fault? Was the car driver's fault? What'll happen? What'll happen? Well, at the time this happened, let's say there was a bird in the tree and there was a dog running around. So what was the bird's perspective of what happened? Just some thoughts down there or little things. Done. Okay, dog, something's going on. You know something's not right, but it doesn't know what's going on. It's barking, doing whatever. Everyone there is like, oh, my God. You know, and the guy in the car is like, what the hell is the guy doing? The guy is so close to my car. And what about his shirt he's wearing, that guy in the car? What are his molecules of the shirt thinking or seeing or experiencing? What about the car? What about the tire? What about the worms on the ground that sort of jumped up a bit when he might hit the ground? You know, like, which viewpoint is the real one? Are they all true? Are they one right, one wrong? Is the human viewpoint more valid than the bird viewpoint? I mean, what about the viewpoint of, think of all the mass of Earth, the actual physical mass, from here in China, Africa, the oceans, animals, insects. Think of how much mass of all this is pure consciousness. How much of it that humans account for on Earth? Nothing. Maybe one molecule. Get that. I mean, there's a lot more going on than you think. Infinitely more. Just in physical perspective. So why is what we're doing so important? Why isn't what the walrus doing way more important? Or just as important? Or a little microscopic bug in the ground? What? There's no difference. It's just life force experiencing itself in different ways, different dimensions. And we went to that one perspective out of billions. And it's not even a correct perspective. This is ridiculous and lies. Totally absurd. It's just mind-blowing. When we get to this level of awakening, everything's a joke. It's a joke, but it's fun. And it's fun because the truth is, as your natural state of being, it's just pure joy and pure clarity and comprehension. Yet it's fun because you can make a choice to make life an adventure. And to make it magical, and to make this journey just an awe-inspiring journey into who knows what. But it goes on forever. It goes on forever. It never stops. There's not one level of awakening or enlightenment and it ends. That's it. It's just continual deepening into this thing called this reality. So this reality in your head, it goes on in the head. It really goes just spread into the environment, if you want to call it. But that environment is not outside of you. Inside your awareness. Again, you're aware of it inside your awareness. So people kind of think, you know, there's outside the world, you have to look there. What about going to work? How can I go to work without thinking? How can I make love without thinking? How can I do this? How can I do anything without thinking? How can I tell my bills without thinking? There's a higher level of intelligence that rests behind thoughts. Once the thoughts go away, there's this infinite level of intelligence there. That doesn't mean to think. It just knows what's going on because it is the universe. It is the universe. The universe doesn't need to think about what's going to do next. It already does. And that's what we are. We are the universe. We're alive. We're living. We're living. And we are the universe. We're alive. We are the universe. So it's pure, this pure potential at any moment once you realize it. And to realize the things, you only need to pay attention to the truth, which is how can any label ever take into account your experience of being? It can't. It's just way too limited. Therefore, any label of anyone else is ridiculous because there is the reality behind their life and the truth, the life force that whatever the creator, whatever you want to call it, that put into that is can't even define it. So fast. And we're all innocent. We're all so innocent. We cannot do anything. We can't. The only ideas say that. Once ideas are gone, that doesn't mean you can go smash people. You don't want to smash people because why? There's just peace here. There's just peace and serenity. And this is something that lacking in everyone's minds because we're at war with our reality. We're at war with poverty, we're at war with death. We're at war with someone picking us off, cutting us off. We're at war because my right, I ordered too much coffee, and it came with one cream of sugar and too. You know, F you, blah, 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 and then my dear Gino, and it was going on, and you know, making that phone.
Picture that you
thinking happening in the now, and your mind thinks that happened, you know, day 7. But the picture shows up now. And I thought that it happened on a 7. So if that thought didn't come up, it happened on a 7, then it would just be a picture of someone else looks like you. Or the body. Ain't that something?
But with that case, though, with the past,
mm-hmm.
if you don't, yeah, there is no past, right? I understand that. Yeah. But you can have inspiration from the picture if you don't have an attachment to it, right?
Absolutely.
It can inspire you without having anything attached to it.
Yeah, without a story attached to it. Absolutely. Speaking on that, I can pull memories from the past or mad in the past, but I don't have to sort through my whole life. I can just pick out one piece, bring it here, and say, oh, well, this is what I did last week, and then put it back, and then that's it. I don't even ponder on it ever again. It's just a lunch. People just sit there and repeat stories all day, all night, and you just keep boring. You think, from this day to lunch, I take care of this all the time. I just want to know what to do now. What's new? What's going on? Like, you know, what's the party going here? Like, what's going on here? Like, all this,
Thank you. All right, I just want to let you guys know that the completion to that lecture, guys, would definitely be in the show notes. But love Renee Hampson, guys. Please be sure to go and check him out. on his channel. His channel is called Inner Soul Tech, I-N-N-E-R, Soul Tech. But, okay, so hold on, let me spell that out. I-N-N-E-R-S-O-U-L-T-E-C-H, Inner Soul Tech. So on YouTube, he has a bald head. Looks like he's interdimensional, right? So yeah, guys, I love Renee. Just sit back and, you know, he reminds me, Renee, there's a book called The Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle, The Power of Now, guys. It's a great book to get to bring you back in a now moment. And also, if any of you guys are struggling with the ego or struggling with, you know, the identity of who you think you are, you know, or anything like that, I highly, highly, highly recommend you to adopt this book as your Bible. The book is called The Power of, no, whoa, excuse me. There are two books, right? The first book is The Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle. And the second book is also by Eckhart Tolle, E-C-K-A-R-T, Tolle, T-O-L-L-E. And the second book is A New Earth. Oh, you guys. When I read The New Earth, I had to pause for a good year or two. I didn't want to read it. I sat on it for about a year or two. Then finally picked it up and had to marinate on it for about a year or two. And The Power of Now and A New Earth, but more emphasis on A New Earth, because that's going to help you identify your pain body, your ego, your, you know what I'm saying, and even Oprah, okay? Even Oprah did a whole segment and a whole series on it, you guys. So, you know, very, very key and very, very important, you guys. So let's go ahead and close this out with a lecture about loving yourself and knowing how to love yourself. Only you can do that, you know what I'm saying, in your own way. There are no rules when it comes to that, right? But love is you, you guys. So hope you guys are having a great, awesome holiday season. Remember, this holiday season, guys, we are ABCD. Ralph, come on, Ralph. Where you at, Ralph? Okay. This holiday season, guys, we're doing things differently. You know, we're not a victim. We are victors, right? And we are in alchemy about how we respond even when we feel hurt, okay? All right, guys, how to tell if someone loves you? Nope. How to switch to self-love. All right. How to switch to self-love. We'll go ahead and end with that. Love, Renee, all of the lectures are going to be in the show notes. Give me a few hours, you know, to update everything, guys. But everything will definitely be in the show notes, guys. But most importantly, guys, you harvest your own energy and self-love. Be creative. Join me tomorrow, guys, Spiritual Soul Sunday. What am I talking about tomorrow? And just to let you guys know, if there are no shows being broadcast, just know that I may have some other things going on, so I don't, you know, I don't miss much. But, you know, sometimes, like, especially holiday season or something personal happens in my personal life, guys. So don't be alarmed if you don't see me on a particular day. But, you know, just be sure that you are signing up for our emails, guys. Tomorrow I'm going to be talking about Christmas. I don't know what the fuck I'm All right, we're just going to let it wing it for tomorrow, but it's definitely tomorrow's Christmas show and all that. I don't want to go into the whole aspect of what Christmas was and the whole conspiracy shit, you know, because we're about high vibrations now. So anyway, guys, we'll see how that goes tomorrow. But, yeah, join me every weekend here, guys, at Eddie Hansen Awareness Radio. This has been Motivational Classroom, which is the highlight of Enhancing Awareness Radio. And, all right, guys, love you, love you, love you. Not I love ya, but I love you. You with emphasis on I love you. It's something that you can feel. All right, guys, How to Switch to Self-Love, Ralph Smart, is a great outro. Till next time, guys.
Peace. deeps, infinite waters, diving deep once again. We are here, how to switch to self-love, your secret superpower. Let's just, woo, breathing in that good-ass prana, baby. We've got a whole lot to talk about. Now, I got a message. Thanks so much, Ralph. Switch to self-love. I loved it. But what about the full version? Uh-oh. What about the full version? Okay, so we're going to dive into it. And we ain't even had breakfast yet. Can I get a hello there? Self-love is the secret gateway to becoming your greatest version. Without self-love, you won't go far. Look, you're just in the same position, right? You see? Now, self-love has changed my life in a phenomenal way. It's helped me connect with millions of people, live in infinite abundance. And that was a time when I didn't love myself. Look, nobody teaches us how to love ourselves, why it's so important to love ourselves, what are the benefits of loving yourself. No, they don't teach you that. That's why a lot of us are really confused. And we ain't even had breakfast yet. Okay? Now, practicing the art of self-love is a lifelong process. I'm in it every single day. And it starts with this. Stop caring what other people think. Do you think that's easy to do? You think that's easy? No, it's not. It's very, 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 very difficult. Why? Because as human beings, we love to be like other people. We want to fit in. Nobody wants to be an outsider, a fringe dweller, an outcast. We want to be accepted. So therefore, we spend our whole entire lives trying to conform to other people's standards instead of creating our own. Slow motion this side. Other people's beauty standards. You look fantastic. Their body standards. I want to look like that, Ralph. It's not fair. So what helped me along my journey was to stop trying to live by other people's standards. Instead, I had to learn how to live by my own standards. And you do this simply by surrendering. It's not about competing. I want to be like them. That's a disrespect towards yourself. You want to become your greatest version. Your, not me, for you. Do it for you, baby. Right? And it's such a weight off your shoulders. For the first time, you can actually go like this. Ah, that feels better. Right? Because it's a lot of stress when you are trying to squeeze that foot inside and then you realize your heel is sticking out at the back. Doesn't look good. Right? So I just started to realize I've got to start creating my own standards. Living in my own standard of beauty. Accepting my body, how it is, the shape of my face. I love it all. And that's how to begin to love yourself. Stop trying to fit in when you were born to stand out. Slow motion this side. Okay, how many weird people do you know? Well, get to know more weird people. That is how to switch to self-love. You see, weird people aren't weird. That's just what we call them. Weird people are unique. That's why they stand out. And have you ever noticed that when you find someone who is very unique, it almost allows you to be yourself. You feel comfortable around them because you're like, they're so weird. Well, I'm going to be weird anyway, right? And then you fall into the true authentic you. Spend time with unique people who don't care about copying other people. They are original. They love who they are 100%. And I do it all the time. I spend time with the cat down the road. I meet a lot of very, very weird people every single day. Well, I'm diving deep. And it's beautiful because they're only unique. And they remind me that I have to always honor my uniqueness. You won't find another Infinite Waters. If you do, they're a clone. When we talk of self-love, I've realized this, that you've got to go to the place where you find your greatest power. That's what's helped me along my journey. I realized for a long time I was living a very, very harmful lifestyle because I wasn't practicing self-love. I wasn't doing what I love every single day. I was in the wrong environment, the wrong friends. I was following the wrong crowd. If you're doing all of that, it's going to be very hard to love yourself. But when you go to the place where you find your greatest power, if you are a skater like me, if you're skating every single day, you're in the seat of your power. You are in the throne. If you are a makeup artist, if you are a scientist and you do that every single day, go into the lab, you are in the seat of your power. That's how to practice the art of self-love. You go to the place of your greatest empowerment every single day. I'm always in nature. I'm in the art gallery. I'm doing what I love. I get to wake up and do whatever I want and live in infinite abundance. You think I'm complaining? Can I get a hello? Absolutely not. Life is incredible. I realize how fortunate I am. That's what helps me to love myself. You see, you can't love other people until you love yourself. And not caring what other people think is the greatest form of self-love. As your self-love begins to grow, you will see it is because your self-expression is beginning to grow. And that self-expression comes, that self-confidence comes from going to the place where you find your greatest power. Now, do you love the skin you're in? I love this skin, baby. This chocolate, oh, I love it. I love it. I meet people of all shades and tones. And they love who they are. That's incredible. But for a long time, I didn't love who I was 100%. And I know a lot of people are going through the same thing. Because you see, we are born into a world where people are treated differently based on the color of their skin, where they were born, how much money they have, did they live in a mansion or a shanty town, right? That's human beings for you. Beautiful, but sometimes downright ugly. Now, when I started to love the skin I was in, I began to switch to self-love. But it goes even deeper beneath the skin. I am a multidimensional being having a human experience. How about that? I love all parts of me. The flaws included, what I call the perfect imperfections. I love it all. I accept it 100%. That, like the Egyptian proverb, a beautiful thing is never perfect. When you can come to love the skin you are in, when you can come to love the body you are in, it doesn't have to look like those supermodels, because we know sometimes it's photoshopped and you're never going to look like that anyway. But when you love your natural body, that's how you begin to love yourself. Because so long as we are trying to reach a beauty standard which doesn't even exist, because they don't even look like that. They've spent a long time in Photoshop and whatnot. I know, because I work in Photoshop, I work in After Effects and all of these programs, so I know what you can do to a human body. You can actually make someone who looks like this look like, what the hell is that? Anyway, right? You can do great transformations, but when you begin to love yourself, you're more interested in the inner transformation as opposed to the outer transformation. To begin to love the skin you are in, you have to, what helped me, begin to live from the inside out as opposed to the outside in. You see, I have over 1 million YouTube subscribers, and that's not coming from what I'm wearing, how I look. It's coming from the message. When I receive over 2,000 messages every single day in my inbox, people thanking me, your videos have changed my life, I'm not the same person, I realize, wait a minute, this is incredible. Let's take a moment of silence. That's only because I love myself. If I didn't love myself, that wouldn't happen. Instead of hating yourself, why not start loving yourself? You see, because you can find what isn't working in you, and you can trash talk yourself, you can give yourself a really hard time, but what will it do in the end? It will create a vicious cycle. That's what will happen. An endless loop of self-hate. Now, to get out of that cycle, you have to start praising yourself. Find one attribute every single day about yourself and praise it. Say, I love this about myself. I love my smile, right? I love the way I walk. I love the way I talk. I love my voice. Find it. And then find another one, and then another one. What you're going to realize is that the more you love yourself, you're going to help other people to love themselves. You see, the problem in the world is that people don't love themselves. Instead, we're trying to gain other people's approval. We're trying to impress people who we really don't know, and they probably don't even care. That's the problem. You see, we're trying to get that love externally instead of developing it and cultivating it internally. That's the problem. Now the solution is to start cultivating it within. And that's what changed my life, basically, right? 7-day vegan challenge. What's it like being a vegan for over 13 years? Eating a plant-based diet. The first week I started, over 13 years ago, eating a plant-based diet, mangoes, papaya, grapefruit, brown rice, all of that beautiful stuff, I had a lot of criticism. What are you doing? Where are you going to get your protein from? Look at you. You're losing weight. It was hard. Hard! And a lot of people right now are doing the 7-day vegan challenge inspired by my videos. Many, many, many people. And they're also telling me they love it, they feel great, but the hardest part about being a vegan or eating a plant-based diet is other people poking their nose into your business. Well, it's sometimes hard. They tell me, like, where am I going to get my protein from? And chia seeds, spirulina, complete source of protein, 65%. It's even got more than beef. They're silent now, aren't they? Exactly. Don't concern yourself with people who judge your food regimen. It's your journey. If they don't understand that, that's fine, because it's not their journey. It's your food journey. And in the end, what you're going to find is that the results are going to show. Your plant-based diet is going to help you attract more happiness, love, financial abundance, health. I've seen it. I've attracted all of those things because I realize I am what I eat. So does the cat down the road, by the way. Now, when we talk of switching to self-love, your secret superpower. What helped me along my journey was learning to fill my own cup. I'm sharing with the world. I'm inspiring millions of people. People ask, Ralph, do you ever get tired? Well, I'm a Pisces, so no. Not in helping people. This is what I came here to do. At the same time, do you like when I say that? At the same time, I realized when I was first starting Infinite Waters, sharing videos, I still wasn't filling my own cup. So I wasn't really sharing consistently because I didn't have a lot to give. You can only give what you have. You can't give what you don't have. You see, many people don't fill their own cup. To switch to self-love, you have to fill your own cup, meaning you have to practice the art of self-care. Baby, go for that massage, I'll pay for it. Great. Go hiking, go swimming, do what you love. Take care of yourself first. That's how to switch to self-love. Because so long as you are neglecting yourself, not even brushing your teeth, and trying to help people, one, you're not really going to help people, and two, you're definitely not going to help yourself. However, when you are taking care of the inside you, your emotions, how you feel, how you look even, you got a whole lot more to give. Self-love starts with self-care. Slow motion this side. So fill your own cup before you start filling other people's cups. And then you'll find you have just cracked open the beautiful gateway to self-love, which is the secret to becoming your greatest version. Now, when we talk of self-love, what happens to so many of us? Many of us, we are in jobs which don't serve us. I was for a long time, and guess what? I wasn't practicing the art of self-love, because self-love begins with self-care. I wasn't taking care of my true needs. I was living for the outside world instead of the inside world. So let go of any job that is not making you happy. That's like so important, we don't even realize it. Because what you're doing for the majority of your day is either increasing your self-love or making you hate yourself. So right now, I wake up every single day with a bunch of grapes in my mouth. Shout out to all the content creators creating their own reality. That's what happens when you step into the realm of self-love. You recognize that secret. Let go of any relationships, any relationship where you're just being tolerated. What helped me switch to self-love was to say, okay, I get it. I don't want to be tolerated by anybody. I'm only going to surround myself with people who have my best interest at hand, who celebrate me, and guess what? I'm going to lift them up on my shoulders. I'm going to celebrate them. They deserve that. They're worthy of that. I'm worthy of that too. You're worthy of that too. And the cat down the road is definitely worthy of that too. So, many of us, what happens? We don't love ourselves because we don't know our true worth. Loving yourself begins with knowing your true worth. Now, we are meeting people every single day. Sometimes we're in a relationship with someone and they don't really celebrate us like we know we are worthy for. Right? Yet someone will celebrate you. We got to move towards that person, not the one that's just tolerating you. But ultimately, the greatest relationship we can have is with ourselves. Once you develop that relationship, you will naturally gravitate towards relationships which are reciprocal and there is a higher resonance. That's how to switch to self-love. You want people who are going to praise you, and you're going to praise them too. You don't want mediocre relationships. You don't want to be around people who are only there just to be there. You want people who are your ride or die ones, who are going to have your back in a crisis, who are going to root for you. They're even going to do a backflip for you, right? They're going to do a few backflips for you, right? Because they love you. You should love them too. Now, what's helped me to switch to self-love is to realize this, that you got to be authentic. Be authentic. Don't spend your whole life trying to copy someone else. Like, don't try and be another Infinite Waters. That won't help you love yourself. Develop your own style. Like, I love every single day, and I love myself, and I love other people, because I develop my own style by being authentic. When you take off the mask, trying to impress people, trying to gain their approval, and even if you get their approval, you still feel you're under their control. You see, when you...
It gets out of control. But the beauty I see in you is worth more than diamonds and gold. I never seen God face to face, but this has gotta be close. With ceaseless joy, I plant seeds of love inside of your soul. Whatever I can do in your life to play a positive role. But life gave me warts, I took my time to shower your soul. I hope flowers would grow. Whatever I can do in your life to play a positive role. I stay by your side through the highs and moderate lows. Life is such a beautiful mess, and sometimes it gets out of control. But if you water the seeds of pain with love, flowers will grow. Whatever you choose to do in life, play a positive role. Always chase the sun and sunflower your soul. I've never seen God face to face, but this has gotta be close. The beauty I see in us is worth more than diamonds and gold. With ceaseless joy, I plant seeds of love inside of your soul. When life gave me water, I took the time to shower your soul. I knew flowers would grow. I knew flowers would grow. I knew flowers would grow. When life gives you water, help her grow. Help her grow. Help her grow. Gives you water. Help her grow. Help her grow.